This Sabbath morning is not any different from any other Sabbath morning. Before I get into the message, I want to share with you the improvement of our work in the prison. You don't hear anything about it. It don't mean that the prison ministry team is dead. As a matter of fact, it is growing by leaps and bounds. And the Lord is adding more blessing in our work in the prison right now, even more than before. Our work is under attack from the very inside. One of our volunteer chaplains, this man was giving me a lot of problem, trying to discourage the men that is being baptized by the Adventist Church, the men that believes in the message, oppressing them, moving them all over the place. But it's God's work. Amen. Remember I told you all in February I was kicked out there. I was kicked out February 8th, but when it was March 8th, the Lord bring me back inside. Amen. So it is His work. And in the institute, when you're kicked out, you have to have a legitimate reason to come back. You got to have something good towards you. It's not me, I'm not good, but the work that is being done, I want to thank the Lord for it. And guess what? This chaplain is bye-bye. You know what you have, you don't know what you're going to receive. So he is gone, but we don't know what we're going to get back. So I'm not rejoicing. I'm not rejoicing over that. As a matter of fact, I wish he would stay around for him to see that in spite of his rejection, in spite of his objections, the Lord is still growing. In May, we baptized 5 men. I don't know if you all have heard it, but we baptized 5 people in the month of May. And we are moving on forward. Let me share with you, if it don't happen, but I want to ask you all to pray for us, that the conference have asked me to see if they could come in to video our service in the prison. And they would like to use our service in Polk Correctional Institute to put it on the conference website and to encourage other churches to do the same as we are doing in Lakeland Church. So if there are people sitting in Lakeland Church, in the congregation, wherever you are, and you have any, doubts with the prison ministry, don't be doubtful, because God is with it, and He's moving it forward. So I ask you to pray for this prison ministry. Pray for everyone that is going in. You cannot go in with us because the crowd, we don't want the crowd to be too big. But you could support us with your funds, and you could support us most especially with your prayers. In the month of July, I would like to go to a prison ministry conference where they will train chaplains and those who do prison ministry, encourage them and strengthen them, prepare them more for the work. I would like to go. So I'm asking the church, when you all are putting the offerings, please, especially the beginning of the month of July and the end of this month, please put a little generous gift there so I will be able to do the travel to New Jersey. It is by the Union. It's going to be in New Jersey, and we're having a lot of big-time speakers and so forth and so forth. I'm asking the church to do that. This morning, I have the honor to stand before you. I don't take this opportunity for granted.
Thank you.
I don't take it for granted. All I do is to give God the glory, give Him the thanks, and help Him to ask Him to anoint my lips, that you will be able to be blessed. Remember Brother Taylor this morning. Remember Brother Taylor. His son that was killed. I don't know if you all know it in details. His grandson. His grandson was killed. Shot and killed. And the family is out of town. And I know their hearts is very heavy. They need our prayers. They need our prayers. So be with the tailors. Please. Let us bow our heads. O kind and loving Father, this morning we want to present your word to your people. I pray, O Lord, that you will make me a nail on the wall where your portrait will be hung, and every eye will be looking on you. And use my voice, dear Lord, that they will hear you, but not Wilson. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. As we visit Jonah this morning, Joshua, I'm sorry. As we visit Joshua this morning, you heard the scripture reading, and I know it is a little familiar story. But there is so much depth in the story, and there is so much depth in the leadership of Joshua. But as we go on this morning, before I continue, I would invite Brother Dixon to come up here again one more time and read in your hearing, and I would like you to follow up. Thank you, Kerry. And to read in your hearing the second chapter of Joshua one more time, and he will be reading the entire chapter. Joshua chapter 2.
Brothers and sisters, we don't just profess to be people of the book. We are people of the book.
Amen.
Council tells us that there are things that should be constantly brought before the people. So I'm quite comfortable with reading this whole chapter to you. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords, And as soon as they which pursued after them were come out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. But we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God.
Amen.
In heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Amen. And the man answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned. And afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. We will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quiet of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, and found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered unto our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dixon. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord have delivered into our hands all the land. When God is in the business, not when God, I'm sorry. God is in the business of deliverance. This is what our God do for us. Because we, as human beings, is always in trouble. So this morning, I would like to encourage you to hang your scarlet cord. You notice in the story that Rahab pleaded. She pleaded because she knew and understood what God had done for the children of Israel when he opened the Red Sea. Rahab, as a Gentile, know not God. Israel, as God's chosen people, cross the Red Sea, but when they get themselves in the wilderness, became a very strange people. They murmur, they complain, they find faults on each other, try to hold the work of God behind. Can you imagine Moses on the mount taking God's commandments from his hands, written by his own fingers? And Aaron is downstairs building idols to worship against God. Big difference. The two brothers, one receiving from God his commandment and the other one downstairs breaking God's commandment. That's what happened to Israel. But God was with Moses, and he concluded his chore. The Lord appointed Joshua, a young man that followed and observed Moses, every move that Moses make. This guy is in his tail. He would not move away from Joshua. He wants to understand the mission that God has for Joshua and the mission that God has for his people. He wants to understand it, not even realizing that God is preparing him to take over from his servant. Is God preparing you to preach to the city of Lakeland? Don't answer. And so the Lord had them to cross the Jordan. They had the last Passover, and then the Bible says they ate from the rest of the corns that was there in that land, and the manna stopped falling. So with the leadership of Moses, the Lord provided his people with manna, food from heaven. And then when he brought them to the land of promise, where he promised them a land flowing with milk and honey, they started to feed from the remnant of the place. And the Lord did not have to provide them with manna anymore. But the mission of Joshua was to capture the land that the Lord promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he's going to give his people a land flowing with milk and honey. And it was Joshua's responsibility to fight the enemies to fulfill the promise that God has in store for his people. And so Joshua began his journey. And he sent two spies to spy on Jericho, because Jericho was the monster. That huge wall all around the city. It was a monster. Two men went in. You heard the scripture. When I was 16 or 17 years old, I was working at the Roseau Sugar Factory as a pH tester. And on Fridays was payday, and you find a lot of people in that valley coming and get their paycheck. Sugar cane was one of our main industry. And I was under a telephone booth one Friday afternoon, waiting for bus to go home. And an old lady came and stand right next to me. And I knew her. I've been seeing the lady around. I don't know why she came specially to me that afternoon. So many people around the telephone booth, but she came specially and she stood right next to me. And she said to me, "You will be traveling." And her conversation was in Creole, of course. "You will be traveling. But when you get in a strange land that you don't know anybody, I want to advise you to do something." I'm looking at the lady strange. What? I have no idea to go anywhere. I have no idea to travel. But she told me I'm going to be traveling. And then she told me to look for four things when you go in that new country. She said to me, number one, you look for a rich man. Number two, you look for a police. Number three, you look for a prostitute. Strange. Number four, you look for a common guy, a wharf rat. That's what we call them in the Creole. But today, let me use a drug addict. She says, number one, the man with the money, if you find yourself in difficulties in that country, he'll be able to help you to survive to eat. If you find yourself in problems with the law, whatever it is, you have a police to stand behind you, the man of the law. If you are going to be advantaged by the prostitutes of the city, that special prostitute will prevent you from being advantaged of. If anybody wants to fight you or to do anything to you, this guy there is going to fight for you. I don't know where in the world this lady came from with that advice. But while I was studying, preparing this message, this is my second time of preaching, that third time of preaching this message. I preached it in Haines City. I preached it in the prison. And here we have it here this morning. But as I continued to put a little final touch on the sermon, the story came to my head when I was trying to think of Rahab in depth. Whenever a stranger gets into any city, the first group of people that will, if you find yourself in the wrong place, the first person that is going to see you is a prostitute. That is her trade. So there is no wonder why Rahab is the one. The Bible didn't give us all the details, but Rahab became the insight for those two men that God sent. And you see how God works? He works in a mysterious way. Where you don't want to see, the Lord uses it. Do you know that the Lord uses the devil to save his people? And so here Rahab did the best she can. But she reminded the two spies, I know and heard what God did for the children of Israel at the Red Sea. And when we heard the story, how he destroyed the other kings, our heart melted. And so everybody is on pins and needles, because when they heard that God dried Jericho, the river of Jericho, and those Israelites is on their side, oh my Lord, their heart melted. And she pleaded for her life. when she delivered the people, she used a scarlet rope to deliver them. Where are you hanging your scarlet robe this morning, church? Your deliverance, the scarlet robe helped the children of the two spies to run for their lives. They descended from it and run for their lives. And they ask Rahab to put it back in place when we are coming to destroy the city. We need to put it in place so we could follow this mark and for we to come and deliver you. Where is your scarlet cord hung this morning? Is it hanged on the anchor of the world, or is it hanged in the anchor of heaven? For when the Lord shall come and descend and to take you home, will you be hanging on the scarlet robe, or will you be left out? Where are you hanging your scarlet robe? But the story didn't stay there. It went on, and then Jericho, the Lord was with Joshua, and he gave him orders upon orders. The Lord gave him the specific order how to take Jericho. We will not spend too much time on that because we know the story. Once, 7 days of deliverance. 7 days. Once every day for the first 6 weeks, you march around in silence. There is a lesson to be learned in that silence. The Lord knew that if the children of Israel keep talking while they are marching, they will get distracted. You know why? Because when you come in the presence of the Lord, you need to be silent to listen to his voice. And when you're in the mission of God, you need to be silent to listen to his voice. If the Lord had not ordered them to be silent, maybe they would have been distracted. But the Lord had his plan for them. You know, sometimes when God don't keep us on that leash, we have a tendency to, you know, right, Fred? We have a tendency to scatter, to run away. And they followed, and Joshua followed the command. And on the seventh day, the Lord says, go around 7 times. 7 times. In other words, they repeat the first 6 times, and on the 7th time, the Lord sent deliverance. Not because of the children of Israel was marching, not because of the trumpet that the priests sound, but because the Lord knows that he's going to give it to them. The Lord did not need the trumpet to sound. The Lord did not need the children of Israel to shout. The Lord could deliver them without all of these things. The Lord can deliver Lakeland Church. The Lord can deliver Lakeland without the help of the Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist Church. But the Lord is allowing you and I. Can you imagine the two churches in a large city like that? And you go to both of the churches, their members is just like we are seeing here this morning. And we have a dying city out there. You know what happened to this church? We need a revival and a reformation amongst us. And unless we come to the realization, church, that we need a revival and reformation right amongst our own self, the mission for Lakeland is not going to be succeed, will not be able to succeed. The Lord wants us to prepare ourselves. That's why he asked the children of Israel, gather yourselves, do it in order, one match per day. We need to gather ourselves, come together, stop fighting against one another. We have too much strife amongst us, among God's people. Oh, we don't have that in Lakeland Church. But there is too much in God's work worldwide. This one wants to be the boss. That other one wants to be the boss. We all want to have a strife between us, and God's work is lacking. run his hair about 3 going to 4 years. And he have been pleading for me, Lakeland. I want any one of you in here to tell me who from Lakeland have we been there for the past 3.5 years he have been pleading for Lakeland. And I want you all to tell me what is the plan we have for Lakeland. We cannot imply it because we are not together. Tell them Robert Wilson say that. We are not together. We need to come just like the God ordered the children of Israel in order. March without murmuring, without complaint. Just keep doing what I ask you to do and I will give you the land. If we come together as one man's church and we unite together, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear them and I will be their God and they will be my people. We need to come together for we to rally on. Let us put all little nagging and all little this and all. Let us put that away from among ourselves and unite together as one church. There are people in this church that can do the work to evangelize Lakeland. But we need to come together.
Amen. It's all right.
We need to come together. And so God gave Joshua Jericho. Rahab was saved with her house, and the work must go on. After Jericho, there was a little city named Ai. And the Lord ordered Joshua to send spy also. So Joshua did just that. And I want you to notice, just as it was in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, from the book of Genesis chapter 1, you will notice that every order that was placed, and it says, and God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. When you read the book of Joshua, you will notice that, and the Lord said to Joshua, and Joshua did just as the Lord told him. So as the Lord spoke to Joshua, Joshua did exactly what the Lord asked him to do, and Joshua was successful. The same order of creation is the same order with Joshua leading the children of Israel to give them the land that the Lord had promised to them that was theirs. United we stand, divided we fall. I don't care so much about the story of Joshua and all of them there. I care very much for this church and my church. For years upon years upon years, I'm a senior lead elder in this church. And my cry and my voice have always been, one day I am looking forward to see, there will be standing room only in this church. If you are going to hinder anybody from coming in, the Lord is going to kick you out and he's going to bring those that are going to come in. Other sheep I have, which is not of this fold, them also will I bring. So we have to buckle up, come together. It's high time for we to put all things away that is not becoming and for we to unite together. Elders must unite with elders. Elders must unite with the very last person in the pew. Because you're an elder, you're not excluded. You know why you're an elder? You're an elder because you need to lead. That don't make you special, but you're just there in the work. It is your work also. You're an elder while you're going down the piece of paper is on the floor. Pick it up. Humble ourselves. That we may be able to lead God's people. So Ai is in the mid. And the Lord sent him, and Joshua sent the men to spy. The men came back and says, look, we don't need all those amount of men to fight Ai. Chapter 7. We don't need all these amount of men to fight Ai. Just send about 2,000 to 3,000 people. And Joshua took the counsel and he sent 3,000 men. And while those 3,000 men are going up to the small city of Ai, the king of Ai and all the men of Ai run them out. Why did they run God's people, which God have sent them to capture the city, but they are fighting and they run God's people out? Here's why. When they were fighting Jericho, the Lord's command was that you don't take anything out of there. Don't take anything out of Jordan, out of Jericho, because it is an accursed thing. The Lord have cursed it, and the only thing that you bring out is the gold, the silver, and the iron, and take it to my house. That's the only thing God asked Israel to save. The iron, the gold, and silver, take it to my house. But besides that, destroy everything. But Israel sinned and angered the Most Holy God. Because one man, Achan, one man, stole the Babylonian garment and hid it in his tent. Joshua didn't know anything about that, but God knew. God knew. There was a little grandfather and his grandson went in a man's garden and tried to steal the man's garden, have all the load make up basket. You know, we carry our load on our head, you know. Here is a man fix up his basket, and he's about to go down under the basket to pick it up to go in the person's garden now. And when he look around, he don't see anybody. Then he's going down under the basket. The little grandson says, "Grandpa, I see you look all around. You look all around, Grandpa. You look around, but he didn't look up. You didn't look up, Grandpa." And the man took the little fellow by his hands and left the basket of provision, and he walked out of the place. Joshua did not see, but God knew. And when Joshua realized that Ai cannot be conquered, he went back and he says, "Lord," and Joshua went down and prayed. And while he was praying, the Lord ordered him to get up. Do you know, sometimes, as much as we need prayer, if we already know what the Lord have promised us, are you listening to me, church? If we already know what the Lord have promised us and what he says he's going to do for us, we claim it, we believe it, and that must settle it, and let us go on forward. And so the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up, man. That's not time to pray. Get up on your knees. That's not time for you to pray. Go and search the camp. Go and search the church. Go and search my people. Search among them. Bring them family by family, tribe by tribe. Search them out. Because there is sin in the camp." Do you know why we cannot conquer Lakeland yet? Because there is sin amongst us. We are God's people. We are not anything different than God's people. But we are not united. And not being united to work God's plan, make it a sin amongst us, church. Do I have a witness? And so when they went and searched the camp, Achan came up and he confessed. One man disturbed the entire work of the God of heaven. One man, because of his disobedience to God. The Lord says to worship my Sabbath from sunset to sunset, from sundown to sundown. God means just that. Just to touch one point. God means just that. He says, "Don't commit adultery." He means just that. Oh, I will tell you what, that merciful God, when we do wrong, we are so thankful that he is always ready to still forgive us. Because if the Lord was not willing to forgive us, I believe there's very few of us standing in this church this morning. Do you hear what I said? I'm not accusing anybody. But it is only the mercies of God. He don't strike us when we break his laws. He don't strike us down immediately. Only the cross of Calvary, the mercies of God. If, when Ron stand up here next few Sabbaths and preach to us, and he is appealing to us to go out, and the Lord would say to him, you better sit down, man, before you send them out, search the camp. Let me ask you, church, if God would give him that authority, or if the Lord would order him to search Lakeland Church before he asks us to go out in Lakeland to save Lakeland, my question to this church, my question to myself, and my question to you, what will he find? Think it through. What will Ron find when he will be doing what God asked him to do to search the church? Will he be finding complainers? Forgive me, but I'm not going to keep quiet this morning. Will he find one that grudge against each other? I should be the one, not you. And when you are asked to do, it's taken over from you. Nobody unite together for me to work together. What will Ron find? When our praise team stands up there and to do all the preparation and to sing the songs, honor and glory to God, what will he find? Criticism? Or he will find people worshiping God? What will he find? I was raised in a movement. All I understood in my life was criticism. I'm a good critic, believe it or not. As I speak to you, you know I could criticize too. I'm number one critic in this church. But I want to ask the Lord to help me. That when I criticize for the better and not for the worse. And I don't criticize you before I talk with you. Sometimes the weak thing might come and it might happen. But I always come to you and address you. I address you. That is why I can boldly speak. Because I am not bad talking anyone. I am talking the truth. Because when I speak the truth, I address it face to face. Church, what will Ron find? Or will he find a group of people that is ready to march around Lakeland silently for 6 days, not a word, and on the seventh day to shout, and we see that this church become not room, not standing room only? Can that be happening? Is it impossible to fool our congregation? Well, forget about the church. Would you like to go in heaven by yourself? Do you know that there will not be one starless crown in heaven? And do you know we all will be wearing a crown, and the symbol of the crown is victory? You will be wearing a crown, but there will be no starless crown. You may have sowed the seed, Brother McDonald's and Brother Fred Seeley come and reap the harvest. You will still receive a crown because you sowed the seed. Brother Fred will still receive a crown because he is the one that reaped the harvest. The Lord allow us to walk amongst each other for we to see and understand the glory of God. One day, church, one day. I know I am boring you, I'm going over time, but I'll tell you something. One day. You will be glad and wish that you had stayed in church a little longer. Because one day God is going to come to give the reward to every man according to his works. God is going to give every man according to his work, his reward. Will you receive your reward from God, or will he say to you, I know you not? very serious matter, church. Very serious business. I cannot wait to be in heaven. Because I would like to see the reaction of the Apostle Paul and Stephen. I cannot wait to see that. And the only way I can see it is for me to be there. Will you join me to be in heaven with God? Do I have a witness? We need to be there. I will be there. Will you?